everyone. This is John Melke. Welcome to Parkside Today. If you're familiar with the Wayne E. Donnell National Cross Country Course on the UW Parkside campus, and a lot of folks are, you'll enjoy hearing about an Eagle Scout project directed by Scout Carter Sura. We'll also talk with UW Parkside Facilities Director John Brook. But first, let's meet Roger Chernick. It's a pleasure to be joined by Roger Chernick. Roger is a board member of Root Pike Win. He is also chairperson for the Root River Committee and was past president of Root Pike Win. Roger, thanks for being with us on Parkside Today.
Well, thank you, John.
So tell me a little bit, give me a little background on how you first became involved with Root Pike Win. What was the motivation to get connected there?
Well, I've been kind of an outdoors person my entire life, mostly in an informal manner. And I became aware of Root Pike Win about 15 or 16 years ago when they held a meeting at a company that I was working at. Sat in on the meeting and realized that this was an organization that was really trying to implement solutions to water quality control problems, not just talk about them or make plans. They were implementing solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So I got involved and have been involved for some 15 years or so.
It's also a regional organization that goes beyond the boundaries of whether you're in Racine County or Kenosha County. It's not looking at that and saying, well, it's only about one area of southeastern Wisconsin or another, correct? It's about more of the watershed.
It's about the watershed, yes. Watersheds don't respect municipal boundaries. They cross them. And one of the challenges for Root Pike Win has been to deal with the large number of municipalities across the watershed, particularly for the Root River, because it starts in Brookfield on a golf course and winds its way down through probably 15 different municipalities before emptying into Lake Michigan.
Wow. We're going to be talking with Carter Sura a little bit later in the program. And from your perspective, the involvement with Root Pike Win and UW Parkside and the Wayne E. Donnell Cross Country Course, what is it that's exciting about that particular initiative on the cross country course?
I've been a user of that cross country course since the mid to late 70s, both for as a runner, as a hiker, and a cross country skier. And so when Root Pike Win got involved in the environmental restoration of that, it was exciting to me because it's basically my home ground.
Sure.
I know where the poison ivy is. I know where the garlic mustard is. I know where the buckthorn, the honeysuckle is. And I've enjoyed using that course. Over the years, though, I've watched erosion. I've watched the incursion of many of those invasive species and realized that I needed to do a little more with it, and I was excited that Root Pike Win got involved. I'm also a UW Parkside graduate.
Well, congratulations. That's good. What year was that?
1973. So I got out of the Army in the fall of 1969, started back on a part-time basis, taking about 8 credits a semester, working full-time, and managed to graduate in May of 1973.
Well, congratulations. I know that Tom Krimmel, who's Associate Chancellor for Development and Alumni Relations, he's a 72 grad. State Senator Bob Wirch was a member of the first graduating class in May of 1970. So there's there's only 25,000 UW Parkside, or 26,000 now UW Parkside alumni out there. So you guys are you're a strong group, that's for sure. Tell me a little bit about Carter Sura and that project. How, from your perspective, how does that come about?
Carter contacted a woman by the name of Nan Calvert, who consults for and works with Root Pike Win. Nan passed his name on to Dave Giordano, our executive director, And Dave gave me a call and said, I've got an Eagle Scout candidate in Racine. Would you be willing to work with him? I've done several other Eagle Scout projects with my work at Riverbend Nature Center.
Oh, okay.
So it was something that I knew about and was glad to see an opportunity to make something happen on the UW Parkside cross-country course.
Sure.
Carter, at our first meeting, Carter impressed me as a young man who knew where he was going, could plan well, was disciplined in his approach to things, and would get the job done. It's a rare combination of things that he has for a 16 or a 17 year old.
Yeah, very. I've, as I had mentioned before we started this conversation, I talked with him earlier in the week, and yeah, very like you say, a person who seems to have his head on straight, knows what he wants to do, knows how to go out there and accomplish it. And if he doesn't know how to accomplish it, he certainly seems like a person who's willing to, to take advice and learn how to accomplish the task. Do you go out there with him and look at the bridge, the platform that he was, that he and his team replaced, or how did that go?
I made a trip out there early this spring when it was still snow on the ground. I think took some pictures, came back, talked to Carter about it. He did the same thing. We met once or twice afterwards. I helped him put together a construction drawing for what he wanted to do, which he brought to John Bruck. The two of them got an understanding on how it would be done. And then Carter put together a bill of materials. He has the advantage of having a father, Larry, who's a really good craftsman.
So
he came up with a complete list of materials that he needed and found about, I want to say, 8 or 9 other students, high school students, and I believe they were all from Walden High School, to help them on the project. I was out there the morning of the first day working with him. I skipped the second day, and I was there the morning of the third day working with him. I'm kind of a hands-on guy, but I had to back up a little and let the kids do it.
that was going to be my next question. Was, you know, do you, knowing the little bit that I know about the Eagle Scout candidates and the different things that they're looking for in a project, it would seem like you kind of have to step back, right, and let them be the leaders and let them work on the project.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, on Saturday morning, three of us were out there, three adults, and we started looking at the thing. We thought, well, maybe we can help them by tearing off the plywood cover.
Uh-huh.
Carter's dad walked up and his phone was ringing. He picked up the phone. It was Carter calling from the other end of the course saying, Dad, tell them not to start. I want the scouts to do it. So we waited.
Yeah. When you look at, and that's just one small area, but an important one, because in the past few years, I was more of the guy running the course at noon when my particular job at Parkside enabled me to have lunch hours. It doesn't very often these days, but I know the area and the platform that was replaced. When you look at that particular piece of property from a Root Pike Wind perspective, what are some of the things that get you excited about what can be done in that area, or what opportunities may be in that property? Because it's a huge piece of property and really, really varied, right? When you go through and actually explore that whole part, it's different from one end to the other and one side to the other.
Yeah, well, the topography is the thing that you first notice about it. You know, it's hilly.
Yeah.
And there are varied species of trees, plants, and animals in there. Not unusual to encounter deer on the course.
Yeah.
You go from the bottommost area that drains into the Pike Creek, which is all, it was a marshy area. to the upland oak area or the upland pine area, and you feel like you're in a different place.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places for cross-country skiing is through that pine plantation on the southwest corner.
Right.
And when those trees are covered with snow, a friend of mine said, this is like going to church when you go through here. Yeah. Because it is a really beautiful spot, particularly when there's snow on the pines.
Right, right.
Yeah. So Red Pike Wind interest is environmental restoration, particularly for the pollinator species that are being so badly depleted across the country and across the world currently.
Mm-hmm.
And that area was traditionally an area for something called the rusty patch bumblebee, which is a major pollinator.
Mm-hmm.
And hence gave us the opportunity to secure some funding for the restoration.
Right. Yeah, I never thought I would see myself as trying to look at bumblebees and see if there's a brown patch on their back. But every time I see one now, it's like, oh, is that a rusty patch bumblebee? Or is that just a regular bumblebee? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can find videos online of people in China on ladders climbing fruit trees performing pollination by hand because the bees aren't there to do it.
Wow, amazing. What when you look at kind of back to Carter's project for a little bit, so as you watch that project evolve, what do you see as kind of a person watching that in terms of his leadership and what he's doing that will hopefully enable him to attain the rank of Eagle Scout?
Well, it's a pretty broad range of things, actually. The Eagle Scout project is designed to educate and test in a lot of areas. First of all, just finding a project that merits the has the scope of work that's necessary to achieve the rank.
Mm-hmm.
In his case, putting together a plan on how to do that. Finding the funding for the project. Red Pike Wind has a number of opportunities for people to perform work that would lead to that kind of project.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't require any funding. This particular one did. So he's got to figure out the funding for it. And he's got to recruit the people to work on it. And he's got to find the kind of people that are going to work together as a team to accomplish the project. I was particularly impressed with the work ethic of a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-olds who were out there.
Mm-hmm.
They were jumping to do things, and anticipating what needed to be done. Rather than standing in the middle of things, kind of stepped back a little bit and supervised. So he was managing the project. He needed a little help on fundraising. A few of us stepped forward and helped him with that. But that bridge is done out there largely through his efforts.
Good, good. Well, it certainly is it's an interesting resource because as someone who is who's been at Parkside for a little over 19 years and grew up in the area, so very familiar with the campus and mm-hmm. all of that. But when you meet people from other communities or someone comes to campus, it's more likely than not, it's that cross-country course that is the connection, whether they knew somebody that was a runner, whether they ran there themselves, whether they did something that they may not be familiar with other areas of campus, but there's an awful lot of people who are familiar with that with that particular piece of property. It's a real gem in the area, that's for sure.
Yes. We don't have many other places like that in a half an hour's drive from here. I think you really have to go out to the Kettle Moraine to find something similar.
Right.
I skied the American Birkebeiner for quite a number of years, and being able to ski at Parkside, which is 3 or 4 miles from my home,
mm-hmm.
Was an important resource for me during those years. I could go out there after work. I could get out there early in the morning. Maybe it wasn't quite as hilly as the Birkebeiner course, but it was someplace where you could get some hills in and get some workouts.
Right, right. Yeah, that's for sure. When you go out there and run that course, and then go and for those folks who are runners, if they run that course and then you go run a flat course, it's like, oh my gosh, the flat course just gets really easy after heading up and down those hills a little bit.
Yeah, we have a number of other projects in mind beyond the environmental restoration. I've been talking with Pete Hincus about addressing some of the erosion areas on the course. You know, parts of the course are covered with grass and maintain themselves pretty well throughout the year.
Sure.
There are areas like the uphill beyond the bridge, the wet area as you approach the bridge, and perhaps that long downhill in the center of the course that are always eroding, always a mud problem, that sort of thing. And it's the intention of a group of us within Root Bike Win to take those projects on one at a time and see if we can do some improvements there so the course is usable throughout the year.
Sure. Yeah, it always seemed like the kind of those two downhill areas, one right along JR before you get to kind of the main start-finish line area, that one was always eroded and kind of gullied through there, and then kind of in that same area, but south of there, on that, like you said, just past the bridge, those two areas I always thought were the ones where you kind of had to jump over the gullies as you were running up and down those hills. Well, I wish you and Root Bike Win all the best for working on the course. As I said, it's a great asset for our community. Thanks for your help with getting Carter involved in that. That will be a good thing to have that bridge replaced. And Roger, I appreciate you talking with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope we can be successful in the environmental restoration, although that's going to take a number of years because it's a big project.
Right.
In the meantime, we can address some of the problems on the cross-country course and make it a more usable, enjoyable course for people in the area and for the students on campus.
We've been talking with Roger Chernick, who is a board member with Root Bike Win. He's also chairperson for the Root Bike Win Root River Committee and past president of Root Bike Win. Roger, thanks a lot. You have a good day.
Thank you, Jeff.
We're joined today by Carter Sura, and Carter will be a junior at Walden 3 High School in Racine. Carter, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you.
You're involved in a project on the UW Parkside Wayne E. Donnell National Cross Country Course. And before we get into the project, you've also run on the course quite a bit as a cross country runner, correct?
Yeah, I run for Park High School.
Okay, and when you were running along, running for Park High School, my old alma mater from 100 years ago, did you run across the bridge and think, "I got to fix this bridge," or how did that project kind of come about?
Well, actually, I don't think I ever really barely noticed the bridge running across it until Mr. Chernick gave me the idea. I'd met somebody from Root Bike Win at a volunteer expo, and I reached out to them asking if they had anything like for an Eagle Scout project, and she sent me over to Mr. Chernick, and he, you know, told me that, hey, we need this bridge. And I was, you know, it's by coincidence that I got such a, you know, perfect project.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about your involvement with scouting. How long have you been in scouting?
Well, I started out as a Tiger Scout, so second grade.
Oh, wow.
I joined my current troop, I guess probably when I was either 11 or 12. Yeah, like 11.
Okay.
And yeah, it's been quite the journey.
And tell us about earning that Eagle Scout status. What are some of the things that a scout has to do in order to become an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, well, I'm not quite yet there. I still have 4 merit badges I need to earn.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, okay, so yeah, you got to start out. There's a bunch of different ranks in scouting itself. You start out as a, you got to get scout, tenderfoot, first, second class, first class, star scout, life scout. I'm life scout right now. I've been life scout for a couple of years now.
Okay.
And yeah, eagle. And after that, you can earn eagle palms, which is pretty much just every 5 merit badges you earn after eagle scout counts for as a palm.
Okay. Okay. And what are some of the things that they're looking for as you pursue that rank of Eagle Scout? What are some of the things that you have to do?
Well, like the Eagle Scout project, that's pretty much to show that you can, you can show leadership. That's what the Eagle Scout project is really all about. But there's also, there's also requirements like having to serve time as in troop in positions in the troop. Like leadership positions or other roles like quartermaster or chaplain's aide or anything like that. There's also, and the merit badges themselves are very diverse. Like from first aid to personal management, personal fitness.
Okay.
So and there's a bunch of other smaller requirements.
Okay.
Like skills that you have to learn, like fire building, orienteering. It's, yeah. If you're asking for specific qualities, I guess like scout, the scout laws, a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, or reverent. And it's really about, I guess combining all 13 of those points into one program, one ultimate rank.
Mm-hmm.
Scout.
Mm-hmm. So you pursue, you ask if there's any scout. Any Eagle Scout projects available, and what's the response? Does the response come back and say, "Hey, I've got an idea for you," or how does that come about?
Yeah, well, I guess the woman I reached out to first, she was like a private contractor or a contractor for Root Pipeline. Mm-hmm. So she didn't really have anything, but Roger Sharnick, I think he pretty much knew right away that this is something that needs to get done.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, like I can send you some pictures of the bridge, but like one of the 2x4s that's on the outside of the bridge was cracked. It's starting to look pretty rough. It's the old bridge was pretty much just a platform that flat across it. It had been washed out a couple of times.
Right. Yeah. In my younger days, when I used to run the course at lunch, that was always interesting. Going, I sometimes wondered if I was going to get across the bridge, or was this the day that the bridge didn't stand up? But so, what were your When you start the project, kind of take me through how you plan to do it. I mean, did you head out and you were familiar with it, obviously, from your cross country experience, but how did you start putting the project together?
Yeah, so there's something called the Eagle Scout Project Workbook, and you have to do your proposal and the plan, and there's the report. So, I'm on the report right now, but I had to start out with finding the proposal, and I had to get an Eagle Scout project coach. And I went down, started talking to I met with Mr. Sharnick. He gave me a little plan that he had. And then I went to Menards. I kind of worked off that, what he gave me. I did some of my own drawings. I got a list of materials from Menards. I later switched that to Blifford, but I had to set to do a lot of drawings, had to show, get approval for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get approval for the proposal, any approval from the project beneficiary, which I guess would have been Mr. Brook,
mm-hmm.
My Scoutmaster, Troop Committee Chairman, my Eagle Scout Project Coach, the District Advancement Chair.
Okay.
So, it took a couple months to get the proposal approved. But, are you talking more about the design or just the process?
I think a little of both. So you've told us a little bit about how the concept comes up. Now, how did you come up with the design for for the bridge?
Well, yeah, like I said, Mr. Sherman gave me a design that he had drawn up, but it was just his design. I think it was just a platform like the old bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I went to Menards, I think I got the idea of getting like 6 concrete sonotube bases and using that as a foundation to make something that would, last for quite a while until, it's...
Sure.
But yeah, long past time, I'm not running here anymore.
Right. when you start the project, you know, every project has got a surprise, right? Every project has got something where you go, didn't see that one. What were one of those big surprises for you?
Yeah. Well, it all went pretty smooth overall, but there was a couple smaller things. Like, one thing, it was pretty hard to measure up the bases for the 4x4s. So we were going to attach 4x4s to the concrete bases.
Okay.
To put these things called hook anchor bolts. And that's pretty hard to measure up. So we had to put them down, and then they weren't perfect because we had 2x8s on the outside.
Okay.
And then 2x10 on the side that, I guess, the side of the creek. We had to cut the 2x8s, two sides, each of them fit in there. I guess that wasn't too bad. Then we had to do the same thing with plywood. The plywood cut it down to size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like John Brook and his facilities management team helped out with maybe shuttling some of the materials or getting some of the old materials out of there. I imagine that was a big help for you.
Yeah. Well, actually, we just lifted the old bridge out of there, put it on the side of the trail. And he told us you could just set it on the side of the trail and they'd remove it later and dispose of it.
Yeah. 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 Were you doing this by yourself, or was there a team of people that you were working with?
No, I actually got a good number of volunteers. I got 18 other people besides myself to help me out, but that was spread out over 3 days.
Uh-huh.
So I think the most I had on a one day was like 15 other people. It was 371 hours. Well, if you include planning, it was 371 hours, but I think the project itself would have been like minus. So yeah, like 250 hours. Mm-hmm. That's just like general volunteer hours, but
sure, sure.
Yeah,
so as you're working with your team members, part of, as you mentioned, part of the Eagle Scout part of this project is the leadership. How much were you maybe hands-on with working on the project, or working, you know, to build it, or how much was leading other people to do it, or was it a combination?
Yeah, well, I say I don't like, telling people to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. So, like, the first 2 days, I was, kind of in there, showing people how to do it. But then I guess, this is also another challenge that came up on, like, the third day. I woke up and, like, I couldn't really move my back.
Oh.
So I couldn't really do anything the last day of the project. But that gave me a real, I guess, opportunity to lead from a literal sitting position.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you learn about leadership?
Yeah, so we'll say, everybody has to be validated. You have to validate everybody, but you can't always take the time to go over every single idea, and you just have to pick something and go with it sometimes. But you still have to make sure everybody feels like they're part of the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of that that thing of you're putting your faith in the fact that the folks know what they're doing, and
exactly.
Giving them some instruction, and then kind of getting out of the way and letting them do that, right?
Yeah.
So have you, the project, the bridge is complete, correct?
Well, we still have some artificial turf that's coming from Menards that has to be attached.
Okay.
And there might be a plaque now. So, but after those two things, it's usable right now, and I haven't been out there since we completed it, actually, but I hope to go out there soon and attach the turf.
Sure. So did you run across it a couple times just to test it out to make sure that it was okay?
Yeah, I kind of jumped on it a little bit, but I see how my back was still bad, so I couldn't really. We had one guy who was with us who crawled underneath it, out through one side.
Oh, wow.
Up the other. Yeah.
Was it a little wet out there while you guys were working on that?
No, it's actually, yeah, the creek, so it's a non-navigable waterway. No, it's just dry most of the time. Mm-hmm. When it floods. But yeah, it was really dry when we were out.
Yeah.
We had perfect weather, too. It was like 60 degrees, sunny.
Yeah, that's nice. What, had you done like a construction project like this before? Or something like it?
The only concrete work I'd done before this was just like replacing my mom's front walk with a friend. I guess my dad's a real handyman, though. He's an electrician.
No.
And knows a lot about, carpentry mechanics. Yeah, he's a real handyman, so I've learned a lot from him. And I got a lot of help from him, too, with this project. I could have done it without him. But, I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, it's always good to have a person that that you can rely on when you start doing building projects, because there's always something to learn or some experience to gain there. What's in terms of pursuing the Eagle Scout? What comes next for you?
Okay, so yeah, I have I filled out the report. I'm still yet to submit it because it's not technically done since the turf's not on there.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, after I'm leaving town pretty soon for the police, but after I get back, I'll submit the Eagle Scout project report and I'll be done. Then I just have a 4 Eagle Scout required merit badges.
Mm.
I held up 3 fingers here, but,
but yeah, don't worry, Eagle it's a Scout podcast. Required. Nobody'll see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Any idea on those 4? Badges that you have to do. How long that, like is that in the next maybe 6 months or a year or a couple years, or do you know?
I'm hoping 2 of them I have parcels on already from a summer camp. Actually, one of them was this camp. I had the camp to get the parcels for because my troop had a change in scoutmasters a couple years ago. And so, yeah, I had to track that down with them. Yeah, camping and cooking. I have partials on. I'm almost done with camping. I'm gonna work on it tonight with my scoutmaster, who's a counselor for him. Pretty much finish it up. But then citizenship in the nation and citizenship in the community. Those are 2 harder ones. I haven't really done anything for yet. But I'll have to do.
Great.
But hopefully by the end of the year.
Well, I wish you lots of luck. I saw photos that John Brooke sent me of the project, and I thought, yep, that looks like a much sturdier sturdier bridge than what I was running across, and I'm sure once hopefully we get back to some athletic competition here in the fall, we hope so, with cross country and you get a chance to compete and run over the bridge that you built.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, well, Carter, thank you very much for the time. We've been talking with Carter Sura, who worked on an Eagle Scout project on the Wayne E. Donnell National Cross Country Course at UW-Parkside, rebuilding a bridge over which the runners and hikers and
skiers,
yeah. I was trying to think of I was going to say snowshoeing. Maybe they snowshoe over it, too. But the cross-country skiers. And so many people will appreciate your good work there, Carter. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're joined now by John Brooke, who is Director of Facilities Management at UW-Parkside. John, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thanks, John. Good to be back.
We've already talked with Roger Chernick from Root Pike Win, and with Carter Sura, who is the Eagle Scout candidate, about the project on the Wayne E. Donnell National Cross Country Course. Tell me a little bit about how does Parkside and maybe specifically facilities management get involved with this particular project?
So I believe through our partnership with Root Pike Win, UW-Parkside's partnership with Root Pike Win, I believe that's how Carter was connected with us over in facilities management, because we've been working closely with Dave Giordano and that group for a number of months now on a number of initiatives relative to the campus and the cross country course being a big one. So about mid to late January, we had a meeting. I had a meeting with Carter and a group of his father and a group of his sponsors for his project. And Carter met with myself and Bob Grieshaber to pitch his idea about doing an Eagle project on campus. And he had a specific one in mind, which was replacing a footbridge on the cross country course. Mm-hmm. Carter's a runner. Mm-hmm. And spends a lot of time on our course and notices that bridge is in pretty bad shape.
Right.
He sat with us and pitched the idea, and it didn't take long for Bob and I to jump on it and say, this is, you know what, this is a really good idea. It fills a need on a couple of different fronts. Fills a need for a community organization and fills a need for the campus because the bridge was in rough shape and in need of replacement. So we just had to, from that point, figure out all the logistics with something like this because it was new territory for us.
Hmm. So, yeah. So, obviously, from your response there, when the idea gets kind of pitched to us, it doesn't sound like there was any reluctance to move forward with that.
No, I would say the only thing that was on our mind was just how do we navigate the various waters of community organization doing work on state land with the university and just making sure that all of our risk management I's were dotted and T's were crossed.
Sure.
Relative to that. And that was really the biggest thing. The idea to me and to Bob Grieshaber seemed like a really great opportunity for not only this young man, but also for the university.
Okay. And facilities management helps out with the project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So at our initial meeting, Carter had a schematic design of what he wanted the bridge to look like. And over the course of the next couple of months, that evolved. And he met with us and he had a parts list of what it would take to build the bridge and had a list of support things he would need to make this go, like if they put the bridge, new bridges on concrete footers, so you need to figure out a way to get water to the course, move materials around from the storage out to the course, because this is a pretty remote location on the course to be walking things in and out of any great distance. So
we
had to work through a lot of those logistics. And for us, once we looked at what he wanted to do, and I asked him, I said, do you have a parts list or a materials list for this? And showed it to us. And we gave it a quick look over in FM to make sure everything was going to be good for us in terms of, yep, the way that he's got this designed out and what he's asking to build it out of is going to be something that's going to be safe and sturdy and long lasting and really be a good investment. And then we were talking with him and he was asking about reserving some space up on the Student Center bridge on campus to maybe do some fundraising, selling candy bars, whatever, to do some fundraising to help raise the necessary funds for the construction of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the parts list, I looked at it and I said to him, I said, look, I'll do you one better. Facilities management will buy the parts based on your list. We'll buy them, we'll store them, and we'll ship them out to the job site when you guys are ready to rock and roll on the project.
Yeah.
Because for us with our budgets, it was a relatively minimal expense relative to the reward that we get as a campus on a couple of different fronts to have this job done. And it takes one less thing off of his plate that he has to do. And quite frankly, I think is indicative of the fact that he was able to pitch this idea. And it was such a good idea that I saw fit to say, look, we're just going to fund it and let you go to work with doing all the work to remove the old bridge, put the new one in, but we'll fund it.
Sure.
Because it made sense for us to do that.
Sure, sure. And you're getting the benefit of his labor and the labor of the other students that he was able to recruit to work on the project.
Yeah, that's what FM's getting. From a campus standpoint, we're getting the added benefit of community outreach, which is one of the central cores to what the campus has been about for half a century.
Sure, Sure. Did you, when I'll say the destruction, I know that's not the correct construction term, but when you start taking the old bridge, footbridge area apart and doing that, did you guys, it sounded like you guys helped help remove some of that material, and then as well as getting some of the new construction material out to that site?
Yep, we wanted to make this, my goal really with this was we wanted to make it as easy for him to do this project and make it successful. So we told him, look, as you guys demolish the bridge, which happened on a weekend, if you know, we identified a spot that could set the spoils in a pile off to the side, it wouldn't impede their building of the new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week, we would go out there with, you know, a series of gators or trailers and load up the spoils and bring them back to one of our construction dumpsters
behind
the facilities management building.
Sure.
And save him the hassle of having to figure out a way to get that moved, and save us some liability with having to maybe rent out our equipment or whatever to a non-university entity. So there's another one of those logistical things we had to work through.
Sure, sure. Well, tell me a little bit about, I mean, it sounds like a really, really interesting project. Saw a couple of photos of it, and having run the course in earlier days numerous times, I know exactly where that is, and you know, I always thought, well, this is a good thing to, I think that was a good thing to get that fixed up there, and you know, no criticism of Pete Henkes's work 15 years ago, but for all of the use that the course gets, that bridge needed to be replaced. Tell us a little bit about how facilities management looks at the new partnership with Route Pike Wind and some of the things that they're planning to do on the cross country course with the pollinator habitat and things like that.
Sure. From a facility standpoint, I think this is going to be a really good partnership for the university, but also for facilities management. I mean, we have over 700 acres that we have to take care of in some form or fashion with the campus. And the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of areas that need more attention than we have the either expertise on campus or, quite frankly, the manpower or resources on campus to do all ourselves.
Sure.
Whether that's as a university or just individually as a facilities department. And I think the partnership really opens up some avenues for us to explore funding options, whether that's grants, and it's mainly grants, and other programs that Route Pike Wind has the capacity to go after and seek money from those entities to help further some of these projects. Route Pike Wind's been a great partner in terms of utilizing resources they have at their disposal, whether it's their board members or members of their community that are willing to donate in-kind design or technological expertise services to help work through some of the logistics of how do we do habitat restoration for pollinators? Mm. How do we do erosion control measures without on the cross-country course without disrupting habitat that already exists and is really good and really vibrant? And I think that that's going to be it already has. We've already seen some benefits with it early on. They've secured a number of bids for some acreage on the northwest corner of the cross-country course for some pollinator habitat. We are in discussions with them and faculty on the campus about how best to use those dollars that we got through different grants to restore the habitat, what makes the most sense to do first, second, third, that sort of thing. So we're already seeing benefits. Some other things we have in the works with them, as long as I'm rolling, is there are a number of drainage ditches around the university drive on campus from Student Center back around to the Rita, going counterclockwise from like 3 o'clock back to about 6 o'clock on that section of road. And those drainage ditches are a prime opportunity for us to remove invasives and add some stormwater filtration and some native habitat and fill a couple of different needs for the campus at the same time. And again, areas that would be beneficial to us and facilities in that they would be a little bit easier for us to maintain, and they would help us with our water filtration for stormwater. But they would also tick off the box of pollinator habitat, would potentially create areas of research or study for College of Natural and Health Sciences faculty, whether that's, you know, entomology or just, you know, biorestoration.
Sure.
In those areas. So they've come up with some concept designs for us and some preliminary costs for it. And I know in the next year or so, we'll be looking at how we can maybe get funding to start some of those in little chunks around as we can get the money. So there's a lot going on. So far it's been great working with them.
Good. Well, I could say something really bad, like, well, it sounds like a Root Pike win-win situation, but I won't do that. We'll let that one go. That's pretty bad. I know that the facilities these days at UW Parkside is extremely stretched with working to keep the campus a safe and healthy place for the few people who are on campus at the moment, and certainly as we prepare for the fall semester and what that looks like in terms of continuing the academic mission. So we've been talking with John Brook, Facilities Management Director at UW Parkside. John, thanks for taking time from your very busy schedule today. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, John. I appreciate being here.
Okay. Have a good afternoon.
You too, sir.
To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please go to uwp.edu/parksidetoday. You can also hear Parkside Today on all the major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening, everyone.